stalled long enough, we can go back to item number 610.
Okay. 610, establish privacy and information protection principles to serve as guidance for how the city collects, uses, manages, and disposes of data and information.
Thank you, Carla. We are here today to discuss the role of the City of Portland in ensuring that we are good data stewards on behalf of the public. The Bureau of Planning and Sustainability's Smart City PDX program has partnered with my office and the Office of Equity and Human Rights to develop a set of privacy and information protection principles to guide the collection and use of data by the city. Director of Planning and Sustainability, Andrea Durbin, and Director of the Office of Equity and Human Rights, Dr. Markeisha Smith, and Bureau staff are here to present the Privacy and Information Protection Principles Resolution. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Rest City Council. I'm Kevin Martin. I lead the Smart City PDX program out of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'll be acting as the MC for today's short presentation. The resolution is really a result of a wonderful partnership between the Mayor's Office, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and the Office of Equity and Human Rights. I'd like to kick things off by inviting Director Durbin and Director Smith to say a few words about the resolution.
Okay. Thank you. For the record, I'm Andrea Durbin, the Director of Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Thank you, Mayor and City Council, and thank you all for your support for this initiative. As we plan for the future of Portland, we must consider that cities are increasingly digital. To have a digital, data-driven city that is democratic, safe, and accountable, we must protect the basic right to privacy. The Smart City PDX program at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability has partnered with the Office of Equity and Human Rights to draft the Privacy and Information Protection Principles resolution in front of you today. The resolution is the product of more than 6 months of internal and external conversations with feedback and support from community members, over 30 agencies, multiple outside partners, and other cities. These initial principles are just a first step. They solidify City Council's support to develop policies and processes to make the City of Portland a better and more trusted steward of the public's data, and direct BPS and the Office of Equity and Human Rights to lead that citywide policy effort. The Bureau of Planning and Sustainability has a history of working across multiple city agencies and with our community to address some of Portland's biggest problems. We look forward to offering our expertise to inform one of the most significant challenges facing the cities of the digital future, how to maximize the benefits of more data and technology-driven society while minimizing the negative impacts, being especially mindful of those Portlanders who are directly the most marginalized. The successful city of the digital future will not happen by accident. We must be diligent in leveraging the opportunities data and technology bring on behalf of all Portlanders in a way that addresses our collective goals for a better Portland. And with that, I'll turn to my colleague, Director Smith.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mayor Willard, commissioners, want to first thank you for your collective sponsorship of this resolution. From the government surveillance of Black civil rights leaders in the 1960s to the surveillance of Black Lives Matters protesters on social media today, there are myriad examples of communities of color enduring a disproportionate level of scrutiny when compared with white Americans engaged in the same kinds of social activist activities. Undocumented immigrants, day laborers, the houseless community, and those with criminal convictions suffer from data extreme. Living beyond the reach of the data collection systems needed to thrive in society, they gain so much privacy that they become increasingly invisible. Living in this, what is now known as surveillance gap, can be as damaging as living under constant surveillance and is often a reaction to it. Residents of the surveillance gap may not have a permanent address, a social security number, or immigration papers. This means they can't access resources that could help them. They often can't access legal employment or vote and are invisible to policymakers. The proactive application of an equity lens to how the city collects, reports, and interacts with data and technology readily highlights the vulnerability of historically marginalized communities. Adoption of these principles is a strong first step in being intentional about equity, questioning how policy, procedure, or program may impact the multiple communities we serve in different ways and result in different outcomes. The Office of Equity and Human Rights collaborated with BPS and the Smart Cities Initiative in the development of the Smart Cities Equity Framework, and this important work proactively addresses privacy issues. We look forward to our continued participation as we all move forward into the quickly evolving digital age. Thank you.
Thank you both. With that, I'd like to bring up staff from my Smart City PDX team, Hector Dominguez and Christine Kendrick, to dive into the details of the resolution. We do have a presentation.
Oh, Carla's left the building.
Carla's
in trouble.
Left the building.
We can move without presentation.
Think so?
Yeah.
I have it in my pocket. If we can just
is she
it
here?
This computer.
She's coming right back.
Okay.
Carla, could we get a little help with the, they have a presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Actually, while Carla's working on that, I did want to thank some other folks who aren't at the table, especially recognize the contributions of Hector and Christine, who have really led this work. Judith Mallory from the Office of Equity and Human Rights, Elizabeth Perez from the Mayor's Office, and now the Office for Community Technology, and as well as many community participants and to our local partners from the Digital Inclusion Network.
Technology, huh?
Here we go.
Well done.
All right. All right.
Great. Hector, you want to kick things
yes.
off?
Good afternoon, Mayor Ted Wheeler, commissioners, audience present and online. My name is Hector Dominguez. I am the citywide open data coordinator with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. These privacy principles and information protection principles that we bring today aim to support our city efforts to become a better steward of information through the use and promotion of best practices and technology in an equitable way. The city collects, processes, exchanges, and publishes data in a multitude of ways. Such actions may put communities or individuals at risk when that data exposes personal or sensitive information about their lives and could be misused or exploit people's vulnerabilities. The city has a responsibility for protecting all information entrusted by all individuals who interact with it and needs to build responsible connections with those who have become invisible in the digital world, as mentioned by Director Smith. This commitment to protect private and sensitive information must extend to all those partners that work with or on behalf of the city, and include that the right due diligence to comply with the trusted relationship required for data sharing and city services. The importance, it is important to mention that these principles include measures that look into emerging technologies that may be used for automatic decision systems like big data and artificial intelligence. By promoting equity, fairness, transparency, and accountability on them, we are encouraging the minimal collection of personal information to fulfill a well-defined purpose that brings value to our city services. It took a full year of patient work, one-to-one conversations and group meetings to highlight the importance of data stewardship in the city, as well as responsibilities that we all share to be trustees of information and resources to the public. 30-plus agencies and 150-plus staff members have been briefed around these principles and the next steps that this work is asking from all of us. By starting on responsible use of technology, promoting proper due diligence and inclusive and open process in data management, our city is building a solid cornerstone for a new generation of services that promote community engagement, accountability, and effective action.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners. My name is Christine Kendrick. I'm the Smart City PDX Coordinator with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. As both Director Durbin and Director Smith mentioned in their opening remarks, this resolution is only a first step to prioritizing privacy and information protection. Staff, through Planning and Sustainability and Smart City PDX and Office of Equity and Human Rights, will convene a privacy work group that will be focused on the implementation of the principles. This work group is going to include staff from Archives, Auditor's Office, Bureau of Technology Services, City Attorney's Office, Community and Civic Life, Office for Community Technology, Office of Management and Finance, Portland Bureau of Transportation, Portland Police Bureau, and Portland Water Bureau. The privacy work group kicks off next week on June 25th and will serve in an advisory role to the overall city's data governance efforts. Over the next year, we'll work with this group to identify both short-term and long-term policies and procedures to uphold the privacy principles. Some specific objectives that the work group will focus on are identifying long-term policies and procedures that are needed for implementation, assessing the city staff needs and resource budget needs for implementation. This group will also work on creating some initial privacy risk assessment tools. These types of tools will be able to guide staff in how to apply the principles to their work in the near term as we're working on more long-term policies and procedures. This privacy work group will also need to efficiently develop responses to some critical and short-term privacy issues that could develop quite rapidly over the next year. An example of a type of issue like this is facial recognition and the use of video analytics. So this is one of the first topics that we would like to focus on with the privacy work group, with the goal of creating a council work session on facial recognition and video analytics in the coming months. The last objective I'll talk about for the privacy work group is to recommend a privacy governance structure. This structure needs to include levels of decision-making and accountability, and also needs to link back to the city's overall data governance strategy. As part of the structure, we also need to identify pathways for community involvement. During implementation of these principles, there are going to be a lot of different types of decisions that are going to need to be made. So we really want to make sure that we're expanding our efforts during this implementation to make sure we're creating avenues for community involvement in that decision-making. Technology advancements and data collection efforts are occurring at a rapid pace, and they're growing quite quickly as well. This also means that then the risks and benefits and burdens that affect communities are going to evolve quickly, and they'll also affect communities differently. So identifying these needs and these concerns collaboratively with communities will be a key aspect to effective implementation of the principles we're presenting today. Thank you.
Thank you both. Next, I'd like to bring up one of our...
Could I just ask a question before
please?
You
dismiss
the panel? In the privacy work group, I missed the entire list. Is the Police Bureau part of that?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'd like to bring up one of our favorite community partners, Nandini from Make Think Code.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for including me in...
am I talking into something that... Okay. I'm Nandini Ranganathan. I'm the executive director of Make Think Code. It's an art, technology, data society lab at the Pacific Northwest College of Art. And
can
we're also...
Can you hold one sec, ma'am? Carla, we've got the PowerPoint on our screen.
Are you still using Kevin?
No.
Let's see if we can pick up our guest. There it is.
Okay.
Thank you.
And we're also community members of the Digital Inclusion Network. I'm here because the issues of digital privacy are of utmost relevance to our work at Make Think Code and to the broader Make Think Code community. First, I'd like to express strong support for City Council adoption of the Privacy and Information Protection Resolution. And I'd really like to commend the efforts of the Office of Equity and Human Rights and Smart City PDX to develop a set of privacy principles that ensure that the use of data by the City of Portland and its partners serve and empower the community. This resolution and the attached privacy principles are an essential and important first step in the City's commitment to becoming a trusted data and information steward. As the gathering of data becomes more and more ubiquitous and constant in this ultra-connected world, the city needs to juggle a complex set of responsibilities. It's essential to understand the potential and implications of a data project and to ensure that the use of data should empower every community member to have voice, agency, and a sense of belonging in the city. We need strong safeguards, tools, strategies, and policies to ensure privacy and to mitigate the impacts of previous bias and exclusion, especially as we move to include automated decision systems and in civic processes. And these policies and strategies need to be sort of operationalized in a way that they can evolve as technology and data evolve so that they don't become obsolete. And we must ensure the safety and non-harming of vulnerable and previously marginalized populations. We also need transparency in our processes to know how the data will be used, who has access, and who and what tools are involved. To use data equitably and impactfully, we need to understand the data, the stakeholders, the technology, and tools throughout the life cycle. And we need to ensure that a diverse set of stakeholders have access to this, some version of this data to support research advocacy and civic innovation. Civic data is a community resource. In partnership with Smart City PDX, we held a Civic Data and Digital Privacy Unconference and Forum in January with significant participation from Portland's communities. The diversity of stakeholders that attended this event and the variety of concerns and recommendations that arose demonstrates the urgency of this issue to the community. There will be several issues that arise in operationalizing this set of principles and in creating and implementing policies. Data is not neutral or objective, and the people and tools involved in every step of the life cycle influence the narrative. It's essential to include all the stakeholders in this conversation as we move towards operationalizing the data. The commitment of Smart City PDX and the Office of Equity and Human Rights to include a diversity of community voices and stakeholders in developing these principles and to emphasize community-focused outcomes has been exemplary so far. And there's strong interest from the community in continuing these conversations, and many have offered their expertise, suggestions, feedback, and energy towards creating a more comprehensive and inclusive data privacy policy. And I urge the city to take advantage of this community engagement. In conclusion, we're excited to support and engage with this process. It's been transparent, equitable, and inclusive, and I strongly recommend that the city approve this resolution. Thank you.
Mayor, I have a question.
Commissioner Fish.
You know, so far we've had this discussion at a very high level and at a policy level, but let's bring it down to concrete examples. On the private side, I think we are all have our own anecdotes about how the surveillance economy impacts us. We know from personal experience that when you Google something, it normally leads to a torrent of unsolicited advertising. If you Google something that's a highly sensitive subject, the advertising will follow around sensitive subjects. We know that we get phone calls almost daily from scammers that have some but not all of our information and are trying to fill out the chart by getting a missing piece, a social security number, something they don't have that they haven't stolen or received from some other source. We're inundated at the city and at home with emails, seeing if we'll click onto something, which then brings a virus into our system or has some bad outcome. So we are in a constant struggle on the private side with this surveillance economy where our personal information, where people are trying to collect our personal information and monetize it. What are the examples of government, what are examples in the public side around government and privacy that are of a comparable nature that you would point to in your work and say these are the kinds of things we should be remedying?
I think especially as we're moving towards more AI and machine learning in these systems, one thing I worry about that could, and one thing that has existed is we've often used data to profile and exclude and maybe sort of make decisions based on past behavior or past. But done the right way, we could use data to sort of support more of the community. I think the idea is more data is often has been used to in allocating resources, but when it's not collected properly or when it hasn't been sort of effectively studied and all the stakeholders aren't involved in sort of designing the collection, designing how it's used, when we don't empower enough of our community to be able to use the data to advocate data, we use data in resource allocation, and that often, if we exclude people, if they're missing data sets, if they're people who aren't counted, ends up sort of impacting them negatively because they don't get the resources, and we privilege people with. Ensuring that civic data is sort of rigorous, is collected with in an inclusive way. And often that just means in what we can do, and I think what I've seen sort of an intention to do is to be inclusive, to design sort of data collection, to design analysis, policies, tools with all of the community stakeholders involved so that they can be also, they can have ownership of the data and use it for advocacy, for resources, for other things. So I think there's potential here to set an example that we all have, both in private and public sectors, constantly have data gathered about us. I think in the past, the emphasis has often been on gathering as much data as possible. I think we should also think about how this data serves the community and use it really effectively to make decisions in things like, it could be transportation safety, to see environmental impacts of sort of development on communities. So I think we now have technology and tools that done the right way and designed correctly can be really powerful in supporting communities.
Well, that's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
With that, I'm going to bring Christine and Hector back up so that we could answer any additional questions. And Christine will also be reading a prepared statement from Commissioner Hardesty, who could not be here today.
Okay. Thank you all. And we wanted to thank Commissioner Hardesty and her staff for preparing these remarks on the privacy principles ahead of time. So I'm going to read them now. The need to make a coherent data management policy within the city is apparent to me. And while I applaud the work that has gone into crafting these goals and principles around how the city manages data, moving forward, I wanted to highlight some concerns I have with this new approach. There is a natural tension between privacy and transparency, and I am concerned that those who stand to profit from access to city data will fight for a sacrifice of privacy to gain more access to city data. Furthermore, centralizing large amounts of sensitive data makes for an appealing target to those that wish to profit from the theft of personal information. Additionally, I'm concerned that approving this shift in policy without having a more fleshed out plan could result in investments in new data management systems that ultimately fail to properly integrate with another or do not manage to adhere to the values of this council. I realize that this item is merely the first step in creating a new data management system in the city, and that many questions will be addressed as bureaus work to craft more specific policies around these principles. But it is important that we begin recognizing and discussing the challenges the plan we are approving today creates. It is my hope that everyone on this council and the bureau staff working on these principles will appreciate the challenges and risks inherent with this type of overhaul, and that we are cautious and deliberative with every change we make during this process.
And Hector had a follow-up to those remarks.
Yeah, definitely the tension between privacy and transparency is very real, and we appreciate Commissioner Hardesty's remarks and concerns on how data and information can be misused and create harm and put people at risk, something that just Commissioner Fish has also mentioned. This is an issue with clear tensions, and we will require ongoing exploration as we move forward with our privacy work group. These concerns have been a clear motivation from the very beginning of this work. We looked at information management through the lens of equity and human rights, which is one of the values of Smart City PDX, as demonstrated in our priorities framework. We also recognize that technological solutions are not silver bullets by themselves, but their implementation needs to be centered in real people's needs. All the staff in city involved in any stage of data workflow becomes a trustee of information. Furthermore, those impacted by technology need to engage on how it is implemented and become recipients of their benefits as well. These values are included in these principles that we bring today. These new challenges are not trivial, and this is the main reason of putting together a citywide team of experts and stakeholders to explore and decide on the best way in which these privacy principles can be implemented. The goal for the initial privacy work group that Christine just mentioned in her final comments is to provide with a clear strategy and recommendation on the way we can become better data stewards for all Portlanders and people who interact with the city, especially for those who have been left behind.
With that, we will open it up to questions and testimony.
Very good. Is there any public testimony on this item, Carla?
Yes, we have three people signed
Actually,
up.
Actually, I have one Commissioner question, Fish. If I could, and we're a little ahead of schedule. We start by articulating principles, and that's all we're doing today. We've set forth some principles. We're not etching them in stone so that we can come back and we can tweak them. It seems to me you have to start somewhere, mm-hmm. and this is as good a place as any to articulate principles. And there's now going to be a series of steps taken, work group, policies, other kinds of things that come back to council. I'm going to go back to this tension between privacy and transparency, because we're going to have to be candid throughout this process about the limitations on the protections that we can put on data. And I'll give you just the most obvious example. We get public records requests all the time that seek information that our attorneys determine is not disclosable for any number of reasons, including privacy issues. But we don't get the final say as to whether that information is disclosable. It typically rests with the district attorney's office in deciding whether it has to be turned over. So what ultimately is our backstop if, let's say, the public records process can be used to challenge almost any privacy protection we put into place and we don't get the final say?
That's definitely one of the priorities that we have for the work group. And we have heard that from our attorneys from public records, exactly how you described. And the history behind that is really towards transparency, promoting more transparency in the city rather than protecting or enclosing data that government has access. So that creates a number of challenges, mostly because right now third parties outside the domain of the city can actually aggregate data and do a lot more that we can actually control. It's out of our control, basically. So finding the right strategies, that's going to be one of the priorities for this work group, finding the right strategies for how to protect data better in the city. And it's an ongoing exploration and conversation.
And I might add to that as well. I think going forward, as we become a more data-driven organization and really a data-driven city, I think the city is going to have to be more strategic about what data we do collect. And making sure that that's information that we need, because it is subject to public record.
So more disaggregated data, less
exactly.
Specific to a person.
More aggregated data rather than.
I think there's also an element that we are not talking aggregated. Just about policies, but the procedures too. Are we training our city staff across bureaus about this? Are there things that we can put into more methodologies about what to collect before building a survey or working on a project? So there's a lot of different avenues that we could look at.
And if you allow me to include something around equity, so one of the discussions that also we have on equity, particularly capturing the specific demographics, as the city wants to provide better services to those who have been also behind, so very, very specific demographics, the question is open whether or not are we putting at risk those communities that we are disaggregating and separating for specific services in the city, how we can actually protect them better. And that's going to be an ongoing exploration, conversation, and that's why we are very excited about this group of people that we are putting together.
Who's the city attorney that's assisting you in the work group?
We have several city attorneys
working
with us. Yes.
Because it strikes me that the legal issues here are very, very complicated.
Yes, exactly. There could be different perspectives on the same problem and issue, yeah.
And also recognizing that the legal landscape has not necessarily kept up with the technology landscape, and so we really need that legal representation as we go forward with this work.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Is there any other public testimony on this, Carla?
Yes, we have three people signed up.
Very good.
Please come on up, Brian King, Chris Bushick, and Alan Hippolito.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for being here.
My name is Brian King. I'm the chair of the Information Technology Working Group of the Portland Democratic Socialists of America, so I'm speaking for that group today. Privacy is a human right. Information privacy protects us from theft, harassment, and abuses of private and government power. We welcome Portland City Council's approval of the Privacy and Information Protection Principles Resolution. Implementing these principles will require follow-on ordinances and new policy to ensure transparency, accountability, and public control of data collection. In 2015, Portland Police Captain Mark Krueger acknowledged that Portland police have access to a Stingray, a device that mimics a cell phone tower so they can gather data, location data on phone users in a wide area. In 2017, the D.C. Court of Appeals ruled that warrantless use of a Stingray violates Fourth Amendment privacy rights. In 2017, the Willamette Week reported that Portland police failed to delete photos of protesters' IDs despite having committed to do so pursuant to PPB policy. However, an independent police review found that PPB had no such policy for digital images. No disciplinary actions were reported over the policy violations, over the privacy violations. Vigilant Solutions runs a national database of automated license plate reader data collected by law enforcement agencies. Vigilant Solutions has a data sharing agreement with ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and the ACLU obtained ICE search records and found that the ICE agents use license plate data to track the daily movements of suspects, and that they also conduct searches on the families of suspects, on U.S. citizens, and conduct searches which the ACLU called vague and arbitrary. PPB has license plate readers on some patrol cars. If PPB is sharing its license plate data with Vigilant Solutions or other databases that supply ICE, this would contribute to ICE's violations of privacy and could violate Oregon's anti-profiling laws. President Trump has issued orders which condition federal funding on cooperation with investigations by DHS and ICE. Local governments are asked to share information about undocumented immigrants so that they can be targeted for deportation. Our federally funded Data Fusion Center in Salem violated anti-profiling laws by tracking Black Lives Matter protests. Our local law enforcement database region shares data through a network of regional and national law enforcement databases that ICE has access to. The executive order may put Portland in a dilemma. Do we accept federal money and share data that may violate anti-profiling laws, or do we protect our residents by refusing funding and disengaging from abusive federal agencies? These examples show how much there is to be done. Two endorsers of this resolution, the Sunlight Foundation and Oakland's Privacy Advisory Commission, show the way forward. Oakland Privacy Advisory Commission is responsible for oversight for Oakland's new Surveillance and Community Safety Ordinance. That ordinance provides whistleblower protections, accountability measures for privacy violations, and covers technologies like stingrays, facial recognition, and social media surveillance. We believe it should be a model for Portland's privacy ordinances. And the rest of my testimony is written.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Mayor Wheeler and members of City Council. My name is Chris Bushick, and I'm a member of PDX Privacy, which is a group of local residents that advocates for privacy, transparency, and digital rights in the Portland metro area. As such, we deeply care about issues that are related to the collection, use, and potential misuse of personal information. And I'm here today to offer our support of this Privacy and Information Protection Resolution. Data collected from residents may potentially yield valuable information to the city. Perhaps it can tell us the most popular transit routes or ways that the city can improve services, but without thorough planning, the information can be misused or stolen, harming the city's residents and the city's future as an open, transparent, and equitable place to live. Current technology offers considerable opportunities to accumulate a wide variety of personal data. When combined, this information can provide a detailed picture of a person's life, gender, health, sexual preferences, religious affiliations, travel habits, and a whole host of other aspects. Misuse could lead to a person being manipulated or surveilled or otherwise mistreated. And marginalized communities are especially at risk because they have many less choices than affluent persons. Having guidelines and policies in place related to the collection of data will help the city to be a good steward of both resident and visitor data. PDX Privacy commends the city for being proactive in trying to protect privacy and data. We would like to see actionable rights, as this gentleman mentioned, like that Oakland Privacy has, but we feel that this resolution is a good start, a good step towards that protection. Therefore, we endorse it, and thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, members of the council. My name is Alan Ippolito. I work for a Northeast Portland-based nonprofit named Verde. In the words of your friend of mine, Ray Espana, it's a blessing to be here with you today. The privacy principles before you today are an opportunity to highlight fundamental connections between technology, racism, and inequality, and the need to build new connections between technology and justice. Per its mission statement, Verde serves communities by building environmental wealth through social enterprise, outreach and advocacy, buying of frontline communities. Verde was founded for two reasons. First, sustainability, despite foundational commitments to equity, had not engaged and was not directly benefiting low-income people of color. And secondly, these frontline communities lacked capacity, including public and philanthropic investments, to plan their own environmental futures. Since then, you know about the good work we've done together to reinterpret sustainability as an anti-poverty strategy, green jobs, contracts for diverse businesses, Cully Park, Sugar Shack, Las Adelitas, Portland Clean Energy Fund. We did this by building capacity in community, and by that capacity drove environmental investments into low-income people of color communities in response to community priorities. Today, in parallel with this resolution, we find ourselves with a new but not too different divide between the priorities of our technology stakeholders and the daily lives of Portland's low-income people and people of color. Our frontline communities are technologically marginalized, left out of a larger data-rich society, not just by poverty, not just because they can't afford it, but by technology stakeholders who often either exploit our communities or treat them as afterthoughts, a box to be checked after early adopters, business models, and other policy priorities have been realized, and by public and private funders who too often fail to incent or resource our frontline community-facing organizations to create just technology futures for and with the communities they serve. And so as a result, our frontline communities suffer from low technology capacity, a lag that's heightened by real privacy concerns about exposing personal information, personal data to service providers, including providers of just transition services like renewable energy and clean mobility. And meanwhile, these providers increasingly demand such information as a cost of accessing their vital services. We shouldn't be surprised. Tech folks often talk about early adopters, those who are the first to see opportunity in new technology. Well, racism and inequality are the original early adopters. They take the first seats at the table anytime we create something new, turning technology into a tool that increases systemic disparities. We believe instead that data is a community resource, a dispersed, disorganized resource, but an important resource nonetheless, important enough that powerful institutions build business and political models based on extracting it at minimum cost. I'm going to go over. I apologize. This is nothing new, just like a gentrifying real estate developer who uses the process of an easy cash payment to buy property for less than it's worth. An extractive digital economy exploits an unequal relationship to get something from community for less than its true value. But it doesn't have to be this way. Moving forward, we'll need new tools and new resources. And we have a choice about how to invest to close this divide. You can invest in the gentrifier, in the same tech stakeholders who have ignored and exploited our communities, but now are beginning to seek public subsidy to close the equity gap. Or you can invest resources in our frontline communities, who not only have unique digital privacy and security concerns, but also disproportionately high demand to learn about tools and strategies to address their concerns. We know the answer, that you can't build community by investing outside of community. You can only build community by investing in community so they can imagine their own inclusive, just technology future. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. Appreciate it. Carla, was there more public testimony on this
item? That's all who signed up.
Very good. Colleagues, any further questions or discussion?
Is this a, are we going to vote? Or
yeah,
is
it's a resolution.
Oh, great. Okay.
Very good. With that, Carla, please call the roll.
Fish?
Well, this has been a very thoughtful hearing. I appreciate everyone who took the time to share a perspective. And I'm pleased that the entire council is supporting this resolution. We don't do that very often, but it is obviously a clear sign that it is a issue of sufficient concern that we're all sort of joined together to try to get this right. I am on a daily basis shocked by how little privacy I have on the commercial side of the ledger. And as someone who is living with a serious illness, who sometimes uses the internet to seek information and gather information, I'm shocked at how even that process results in people harvesting information and then trying to market to me or communicate with me based on my browsing history. We have precious little privacy in our private lives, and the surveillance economy is only going to get worse. One of my concerns with the whole smart planning efforts at the city around technology is that some of the same people on the private side that have been so unscrupulous in breaking down the wall of privacy that we used to enjoy are now seeking to partner with government and offer the lure of technology that is brokered for access to data and information and other kinds of things. And I think we have to be very, very careful about protecting people's privacy, about how we use data, how we collect it. So this is a first step. This is sort of a baby step. We've set some principles, and we're going to do some hard work at the committee level. We're up against powerful forces that are, in some instances, more powerful than we are, and certainly the tension between transparency and the public records process and whatever our countervailing goals are at the city in terms of protecting people's privacy are going to play out regularly, probably in the courts. But I'm proud to be in a council that is identifying this as an issue of concern and is trying to do something about it. I look forward to the next piece of work product that comes back that we can debate, and I thank everyone who has brought us to this point. Aye.
You Daly?
Well, first I want to thank the invited testimony and public testimony. If only all the testimony we got to hear was so informed and useful. I'm looking forward to following up with each of you, and I really appreciate the input. I also share Commissioner Fish's concern with the intrusion on our lives through the internet and social media. Facebook recently suggested that through advertising, that it was time for me to get my body bikini ready, and I also perhaps needed adult diapers. Neither of which is true, so I guess I should take comfort in the fact that Facebook has no idea who I am or what I care about, but I didn't really appreciate either of those suggestions. And now for my official closing remarks. I want to thank BPS staff for tackling this important issue. I take this issue really seriously, and I'm pleased to say that PBOT has been proactively working to address privacy and information protection issues as well. The increasingly sophisticated data that we have access to allows us to work more efficiently, make smart investments, and implement regulations that serve the public interest. But this new data comes with real responsibilities to be good stewards and protect privacy. PBOT's e-scooter pilot is an example of how we can use data to better execute our responsibilities in managing the public right-of-way. The collection of e-scooter data, which is something that we negotiated up front before our first pilot, has given us a better ability to manage scooter companies' compliance with city rules, such as where e-scooters may be operated and parked, and whether companies are providing equitable access, as well as understand where new bike and pedestrian infrastructure could improve safety. Please note that I said better manage, not perfectly manage, because as we know, there are still violations happening and bugs to work out. So everybody stay off the sidewalks, wear your helmets, and e-scooters are not allowed in public parks. To protect privacy, PBOT has worked with e-scooter companies to minimize what information the city collects and to aggregate data so that no personal information is revealed. I switch back and forth between data and data. I just can't stop. Mm-hmm. I should just stick with data, my favorite Star Trek character. And finally, PBOT also recognizes that there is more work to be done and will be working to expand its data privacy practices in alignment with these council-adopted privacy principles. So thank you once again. I vote aye.
Fritz.
This is really reassuring to me that people who are not as old as I am are worried about this too. And so I appreciate all the work that's being done. This resolution is an example of community-centered governing. The world of data and technology is quickly transforming the ways in which we all work, travel, shop, receive medical care, basically everything in our communal lives. And that's why it's important for all of us to be involved in this. As local government, it's particularly our civic duty to strike a balance between granting community members easier access to key city services while ensuring that the information we collect in that process is not misused in any way. As we've seen in San Francisco's recent ban on facial recognition technology, there is great concern about misuse of the data to harm, I can't say that word anymore without thinking of you. I'm worrying about whether I've said it correctly or not, but I get to say a lot of things differently anyway. There's great concern about misuse of the data to harm populations already disproportionately targeted by surveillance efforts. And it's essential that we assess the impacts on vulnerable communities by including vulnerable communities as we design policy and program approaches and ongoing as we implement them. There's been a recent controversy about Portland maps and as to whether searching by owner was switched off, and I brought that to the mayor's attention, and he informed me that that was because domestic violence survivors are being targeted through that search operation. So I wrote back to the constituents who had written in to me about this concern, and a couple of them said, oh, that makes sense, thank you very much. And the third one, John Liu, said, ah, but it's relatively simple to turn off. Let me tell you exactly what he said. You can code to suppress owner search if it returns only one or two addresses, or suppress the portion of any owner search result that returns an owner-occupied address, where the owner's address could match the property's address. Either would address the legitimate concerns of domestic violence survivors. So it gets more interest. I think that was very interesting. And then John went on to tell me about some of the things that they have been able to find out by using the data on public record. As we work to stop the demolition and displacement threatened by the residential infill project, we are collecting data showing the impact of infill redevelopment on housing prices. In the past, we were able to identify all projects done by one developer and show that in 5 years, this one developer demolished 172 low-priced homes and raised housing prices on those properties by nearly 200%. So that's an example of the good use of aggregated data, or in this case, particularly looking at the commercial person doing it, that is then, I would say, generally in the public good. But these lines are not simple, and so I think it's really important. We had a good discussion last week when Commissioner Hardesty was able to be here about speed cameras and whether collecting the demographic data from them is either possible or desirable. And it's going to take all of us to make those decisions. I don't know that there are bright lines. There's probably some bright lines at either end of the spectrum that we could all agree are right and all agree are wrong. But as you get more and more into the policies, we're going to have to make some judgment calls, and those may change over time. We do recognize the opportunities for wealth development and community improvements that data and technology offers, and we acknowledge the disparities that must be addressed in order to make those opportunities accessible to all. I'm very pleased that the Office of Equity and Human Rights has been a crucial partner at the table from the very early development of this policy and will continue to be involved in further development and implementation, keeping this city's accountability to communities of color, communities with disabilities at the forefront. Thanks in particular to Judith Mowry and Director Markeisha Smith in the Office of Equity and Human Rights, as well as Claire Adamsick on my staff, and also to the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability for your leadership on this work. I look forward to being continued to be involved in these discussions. I think they're really interesting and important, and we need to institutionalize them with urgency and with care and involvement. Aye.
Wheeler.
Data is increasingly a valuable resource to improve and evaluate city decisions. Through improved use of information, we believe that we can deliver better city services to the people of this community. But as you've heard, if we do not place privacy protections front and center as we transition to a more data-driven city, we risk impacting Portlanders in negative ways, particularly our most marginalized communities. The values expressed in these principles cut across all city agencies and across the entire city council. I'm extremely pleased to bring this resolution forward with every member of this council as co-sponsors. I want to thank my colleagues for their strong support of this important work. The City of Portland is the first city in the United States to prioritize data privacy and equity in our smart city work. Through the passage of this resolution and through the passage of the Smart City PDX Priorities Framework Resolution in June of 2018. These principles, as you've also heard today through testimony, are a first step. They direct Smart City PDX to work in partnership with the Office of Equity and Human Rights, the Bureau of Technology Services, and others to draft specific processes and policies to uphold these principles and to engage the community in their development. The City of Portland is committed to becoming a trusted data and information steward for the communities that we serve. We cannot become a data-driven organization without the community's trust, and we will do so responsibly, equitably, and with transparency. I'd particularly like to thank Hector Dominguez, Judith Mowry, and the Smart Cities PDX team for their diligent and thoughtful work on this resolution and the work that they'll be doing going forward to ensure success. And I'd also like to thank Elizabeth Perez for taking the lead. This is a great first step. Terrific testimony. Thank you, everybody who came forward today to provide their feedback. I vote aye. The resolution is adopted.